hard telling what I said to Brother Welch when I talked with him on the telephone. I talked with Brother Welch on the phone after I'd finished talking with Royce. And when I talked with Royce and asked him if he would come and speak about the book of Revelation, he just kind of went into a panic. And I was so disturbed after trying to settle Royce down and assuring him that it would be all right, that Brother Welch, it's hard telling what was on my mind by then. The floor is open to questions. They are yours. Do with them as you will. Any questions that you might have about something that they've talked about. I'm going to, for the sake of the tapes that we're making, and a number of you have asked for copies of the tapes, I'm going to repeat the questions because the last time the questions from the floor were not heard on the tapes as well as they should have been. So just if you have a question. Yes, sir. Yeah, I believe the question then, I believe, is for Brother Grushon to comment on some of the ways that we might be able to reverse this trend of emphasizing the negative and get back to having a little bit more emotional feeling and spirit and that kind of thing in our worship and work as Christians. Jim?
One song said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was blinded, and now I see." And the song said, "It's all because of God's amazing grace. Because on Calvary's mountain He took my place, and someday, some glorious morning, I shall see Him face to face. It's all because of God's amazing grace." And you know, it's because of Christ's great sacrifice and God's death, we have the opportunity to be in the presence of God. And I don't think people comprehend the emotion of that and the desire of that. And then we get back to that church that continues to progress toward tradition, but we get away from spiritualism.
Let me just make a quick comment as the moderator. For the sake of those, we do have some who are visiting with us who are not members of the church. Maybe a definition of terms. I don't think these brethren would disagree with this. When we talk about emotionalism, I think we're talking about zeal. Is what we're talking about. We're not talking about some kind of a movement of the Holy Spirit or spiritualism or that kind of thing. We're talking about being more zealous and having more feeling in our own hearts for what we do and what we offer to God. And so we want to make that clear to those that might be visiting. And that's what we feel that we're lacking maybe is the zeal. We're not arguing for a Holy Spirit revival or something like that as would be talked about sometimes maybe in the world. And I don't think that would be disagreed with by anyone. Other questions? Yes, sir. Randy. All right, the question is, what is the meaning of the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation chapter 21? The microphone moves all across the table, so and you see how quickly it moves.
Royce was to speak on what it means to us today.
Well, that's right.
I'm wondering if this is the same subject.
I take it that this is descriptive of what results from the victory that these people live. They lived it then, and we are living it now, hopefully. We're living it now. And that this will come from the judgment with the new heaven and the new earth, and that it is the sequel to what you said in 2 Peter chapter 3. The heavens and the earth would pass away with a great noise. And the heavens pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved, and so on. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then he goes on to say that we look for the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heaven being on fire, and so on. Verse 13, but according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That he's talking about after this life is over, what will come to the faithful?
Royce or Jim, you have a comment about
that? I agree
that?
With that.
There are a number of you. I would guess that what you were asking for was the distinction between is that the church or is that, you know, after the destruction of the world, and what two of them are saying. Jimmy's staying conspicuously quiet down there, is that it's their feeling that it's talking about the after the judgment. It's talking about him. Other questions? I agree with that too, incidentally.
They may perfectly well be right, but Brother Wallace, in his book, takes a position, and I am more in sympathy with his position, but can be dogmatic about it. But a new heaven, new earth, is a new order of things, like in Isaiah, it's the reign of Christ and the Christian dispensation, new order of things, the contrast of Roman mosaical system. Could this possibly be, as Brother Wallace says, the emergence of the church out of this crisis, this period of persecution, trial, tribulation, martyrdom? So he saw this holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, not heaven itself, but coming from heaven. And it emerges out of this period after the Domitian era, and begins to evangelize again. So again, a new order of things. I'm perfectly in agreement. 2 Peter 3 would be heaven itself, but I have a little problem with Revelation 21.
All right. So the question then is, you know, could it be representative of the church? Revelation 21, representative of the church coming out of this persecution and a new order, victorious over this persecution, that kind of thing.
take a seat. I guess in the beginning, I would basically say, well, he made you our student. Whatever in exercise and humility, it's got to be the book of Revelation. But the main problem I would have with that is I don't know everything about the history of the Lord's people after that period of time, but I don't see anything that stands out anywhere after that period of time that could be described in such idealistic and glorious terms as the New Jerusalem is described here. There's no tears anymore, no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. It seems to me that there have been plenty of that throughout history, even after the Roman persecutions and the fall of Rome. And if it's not what Bob suggested, I really don't have any other alternative that I would even begin to think. That's just my answer.
Anybody else? Okay, now I want you all to notice something here very closely. My brother-in-law, Randy Pickup, is next to ask a question. He's been wanting an opportunity to speak at one of these lectures, so this is his opportunity. You're on the open forum discussion now. Question is in Revelation 20, what is the loosing of Satan?
I think I began this discussion, my part of it, by emphasizing that I wasn't an expert in the world of signs and symbols. And I know from other statements that are made in the Word of God that it is not saying, that this is not teaching, that after this period of victory, that there will be no Christians on there, because there are other passages that point out that there will be when it comes in. Not in Revelation, I don't mean that, but in other parts of the book. But all that I can see involved in it is that this victory that is seen here is not an eternal thing, but that there are going to be or will be a period of greater temptation, of greater effort and effective effort by Satan. And I think all of us, as we study history, can see the cycles. When it gets better and then it gets worse. And that's as far as I can go.
Does it mean that we are in that sense part of the nation that are being saved by the
we may be, yeah, we may be waiting a little while, as it says over here in chapter 6. We may be waiting a little while until others come in until they fulfill their course.
Yes.
I've addressed it to Peter McKell on the 144,000 relations to chapter 7 and 14. I'm not sure if today, but with a good friend, we tend to think of a special number at the time you mentioned.
All right. The question is for some discussion on the significance of the 144,000. Slide that back down toward Jim. He's kept it up at this end of the table.
Well, you notice, and I am not qualified to speak as well as you know the gentleman on this, but you notice in that seventh chapter they're dealing with Jewish tribes and male men and 144,000 persons, and none of them want to take that figure literally, but they want to take a number literally. I've got a problem with a lot of the books. How Lindsay and so forth, some of the stuff he wrote here, they'll go on and expound how literal the book of Revelation is, then they'll get the passage and say, now this represents. And so what you've got is you've got an understanding either something is literal or figurative, and they can't make up their mind which way they want it to go. If they want to make it literal, you don't have any women.
you want to make it figurative, then the number doesn't mean anything. So in dealing with them, you make them take the stand on one side or the other. Now, as far as what it really does mean, let's rock it, but I don't know.
I think I'd love to make one other remark about the passage, and not take away anything that you said there at all. There is another point about this. These people who want to include themselves in 144,000 may not have a drop of Jewish blood in their veins, and they think they're one of the 144,000. Well, this talks about of these tribes of Israel, the 144,000. And then, verse 9, after these things, I saw, behold, a great multitude, which no man can number, out of every nation, and of all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And thus, he's picturing both Jew and Gentile, even as Ephesians 2 pictures Jew and Gentile made one, that here all of them are giving glory unto the Lamb.
Other questions? Yes, sir. I'm glad. I was going to ask that myself if you didn't. The question is, in chapter 12, there's a war depicted in heaven between the forces of good and evil, and some comment about that.
Without pretending to give a very thorough or accurate answer, my impression of this war is that it describes a war that took place way back even before Adam and Eve, when whatever form Satan was in at that time, when he committed whatever sin Christ had committed, was cast out of heaven, left in the proper place of authority. And my impression is that this is when that particular battle took place, is when Satan was thrown out of heaven, became what we know as the prince of the powers of the air, and that's when it took place, and ever since then, it's been a competition for all of humanity. That's about as far as I can go.
Any of the other panel members want to comment?
I guess that's what that is. Paradise
Lost.
Do you have another comment you want to make about it, Brother Welch?
Oh, we did not.
Go ahead.
This part of it goes along with what it says, with what it starts in verse 4. The great sign seen in heaven. And as he's seeing the sign in heaven, this is a symbol or a sign that he sees. I'm not trying to detract from what Royce has said about it, except that this is a part of the sign, this is a part of the symbol that it sees. Now, is it literal, or does it have some signification from what it sees? Royce is saying that it is rather literal in its nature.
Questions? That's just going to about wrap up the time that we have this morning. We want to express our appreciation, first of all, to all of you who have come, and then a special appreciation for these three men and for the material that they've given us to think about this morning. I've mentioned in a couple of times, and Brother Welch mentioned the copy of his debate. The subject of that debate is premillennialism, and if you'd like to go into a more detailed study, I don't think he'd shy away from seeing that you got a copy of the Welch Shriner debate. It's very good. It goes into a lot more detail than what we've been able to do here this morning. And we appreciate all three of the men and the efforts that they've made this morning. Are there any announcements that any of the brethren from other places? I know the congregation at Haines Street, for those who are in this area, have started a radio program on Sunday mornings at 8:30, or is it 8? It's 8 o'clock on WING. AM, that's 1410. Brother Randy Reynolds is speaking on it. It's not a call-in program, but he's speaking. I believe they started last Sunday. And if I'm not mistaken, the Knollwood congregation is starting another program in the near future, which
it works Monday, every day, Monday through Friday, 11:45 to 12 o'clock on WMNX Xenia, which will be heard today. That's 11:10 on the dot.
That's AM, 11:10 AM. 11:45 to 12 o'clock. Is that going to be a call-in program or just speaking? Brother Weldon Warnick, if you haven't heard enough of him already, you can hear him for 15 minutes every day. We have a gospel meeting coming up here in April, April the 20th through the 26th, Brother Pete Wilson. I can't tell you where he's from right now. He's been living in Oregon for a number of years, and he's just moved into Washington State, but he's going to be with us then, and I know that a number of the congregations have gospel meetings coming up. And we're going to turn it over to Brother Kelso. You have some other things to say?
I just wanted to mention that our next discussion, I don't think that we'll call it a panel discussion, we tentatively had a date set, and Brother David Aiken, also from Kentucky, had agreed to be with us at that time. There was some conflict has come up. And we're trying to work that out to see whether he can change his or whether we might have a week earlier, which would be the first Saturday of next month. And instead of having the panel, because of being on evolution, we're going to give him the full time to talk about both sides of the issue. And we really believe that for even us as adults, but for those who have young children, we know how receptive they are. When they hear things in school, such as they do concerning evolution, and perhaps it sounds neat that something evolved from an ape and came on up to a man, that might intrigue them, and they don't really give enough thought to just what's being said. And we believe that this would be something that any congregation has young people, bring them and let them listen, and we would encourage them to ask questions. We're going to try and invite from several high schools, if they'll permit us, to either make announcements in those high schools or throw something on the bulletin boards to do that, or to even those who teach that theory to be present at that. We just think that it's going to be an excellent discussion also. And again, we appreciate you being here and inviting you back at the next one.
For those of you who don't know Brother Aiken, he is he preaches, I believe, in Cynthiana, Kentucky, or Georgetown, Georgetown. But he has a doctor's degree, a Ph.D. in biology. And so he is very knowledgeable, very well-versed in that field. And he's also just an excellent speaker, very appealing speaker, and has some outstanding material. So we'll be sending all of the congregations in the area information as we get that confirmed. Yes, sir, Brother Smith. The same week? who's going to be speaking? All right. You just have to alternate different nights. Yes, sir. Who's speaking there? Oh, well, that's any other announcements like that? This one of the great things about this to me is we don't get together enough like this. Brothers and sisters in Christ from this area, it's really great for you to be able to come here and let us get to know you better. Mike?
I believe the West Carolina meeting a week before everybody else is having their hard Ogden.
Good, good. Okay, Brother Art Ogden will be at West Carrollton then. Okay. Boy, that'll be good. What's it? Oh, not the 20th, that's right, not the same week. Any other meetings, area meetings? Alan? April the 7th through the 12th, with Brother O.C. Birdwell from Bowling Green. All right. Well, that's good. Let's try to take advantage of some of these opportunities to hear some of these good brethren speak, and also not just to go hear the men speak, but to get to know each other better again and support and encourage one another. We're glad you're here. For those of you who can, there's a room that has been reserved at the Cambridge Inn Cafeteria on Far Hills. It's not very far from here, and where we can, if you have a chance, we can get together and enjoy a meal together and perhaps get to visit. For those of you who are not familiar with where that is, if you just go down Bigger Road, which is the road right here in front of the building, to the second traffic light, which is Whip Road, I believe, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah, Whip Road, and turn right. Whip Road will take you to Far Hills. And turn left on Far Hills, and then you'll see the Cambridge Inn Cafeteria. It's just maybe half a mile or so south of Whip. And they're expecting us, and as many of us as can be there, they will be able to accommodate us. I'm going to ask Brother Alan Dvorak in just a moment, if he would. He preaches for the brethren in Loveland, to come and lead us in a word of prayer. Let's all stand and sing a verse of "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus," and then we'll be dismissed after the prayer.